Let's lace them up.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Dribbling has to put it up with a buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
With a tear in my eye! This is the greatest moment in my life.
She was wearing a strap-on, and she was plowing our neighbor Bob Greenwald. And folks, I do mean right in the ass. Fastball misses. Just low. Count goes full. 3-2.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Lace 'Em Up Podcast, Wrestling Edition. My name is Mike Andrade. And alongside from last week, my guest host, introduce yourself.
What's up, y'all? It's Ryan Hernandez. Welcome to the second episode of the Lace 'Em Up Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, sir. How have you been, Ryan?
Yeah, I've been doing good, you know, just enjoying these last couple weeks before I head off back to school.
Head off back to school where you're going to give everybody an RKO and an attitude adjustment?
Yeah.
All right. That's good. So, we are coming off the heels off of SummerSlam. Did you watch SummerSlam, Ryan?
Yes, I did watch SummerSlam. I watched it live, and I watched it from start to finish.
What did you think of it?
I honestly thought it was perfect from top to bottom. I thought the show was all hits and no misses.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. You know, I think from top to bottom, each match hit. You know, they delivered on what they were supposed to do. I don't think there was any bad match, per se, you know. People kind of crapped on the Bayley and Nia Jax match. But, you know, all things considered, I think that still was a good match. For me, the top matches from that show was, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. That was the top match for me.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people saying, like, oh, that match wasn't great from a technical standpoint. It's like, that wasn't the point of the match. It told a story, and that's what made the match great, you know, because sometimes for matches, you don't always need it to be a technical, like, showcase. Sometimes just telling a story goes a long way in a match.
Exactly. You know, telling the story, you know, this feud between Punk and McIntyre has been going on since basically CM Punk returned to WWE. So you talk about the better part of this year, mostly all of this year, 8 months. And so you're thinking of that. You see the 6 months that they built, 8 months that they built with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. They have done a beautiful job with building that story, getting the tension. You haven't seen a blood feud at WWE in a really long time. The ones that we're seeing of Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Punk and McIntyre feud has been, you know, top feud of this entire year. Even when Punk was on the shelf and he was still able to, you know, like, build hype it up because of how good Punk is on the mic, that just give him a microphone and, you know, he'll make magic.
Exactly. Yeah. And Drew has stepped up his game the last year or so, you know. If you would have asked me a year ago, 2 years ago, that Drew McIntyre could be the top-level heel that he is right now, I wouldn't think so, because I wouldn't have thought that his microphone skills, his promo skills, were that top-notch. But he has shown over the last year or so that he is incredible on the microphone. He is a great heel. So, tops off. My hat is drawn out with respect to these guys. They've done a great job. So what do you think going forward for the WWE? Like, what do you think is going to happen over the next couple months?
I definitely think at Bad Blood, we see Punk versus McIntyre 2.
Yeah.
Whether there's a stipulation or not, I think the match is going to, you know, live up to the expectations, because I know everybody was like, oh, CM Punk's washed, he can't go anymore, but we saw in the match, like, nah, Punk can still go, you know.
Exactly.
Like, sure, he may not be what he used to be, but he can still go. He can still put on a solid match if, when needed. So, and then, you know, Bash in Berlin's coming up. They already got confirmed two matches. Gunther versus Randy for the World Heavyweight Championship. And then Cody versus Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship.
Exactly.
I think those are going to be two solid matches. And I guess what I saw earlier, a report has confirmed, or I think it's confirmed that it's going to be Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest versus Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio at Bash in Berlin.
Yeah.
So see how that turns out. And I definitely think we see Roman versus Solo, or if not Roman versus Solo, we'll see Roman versus a member of the Bloodline at Bash in Berlin.
Yeah, I think you can definitely see all those matches, per se. It's going to be interesting going forward with the Judgment Day, what they do with that. You know, is it going to, are they still going to be hot with Finn Balor basically being the leader of the Judgment Day with, you know, Carlito and Dirty Dom and Liv Morgan? So it'll be interesting to see what
they do with that. And don't forget JD McFunko Pop.
JD exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of exciting things in WWE right now going forward. And you can fantasy book your way. So you can start fantasy booking your way to WrestleMania at this point, you know, because we're done with SummerSlam. Now we're starting to see what the mold is going to be heading into the biggest point of WWE season, which is heading into the road of WrestleMania. So definitely you could see the shapings of the Bloodline Civil War coming up at Survivor Series. Will The Rock get involved? Cody,
has The Rock been behind this the entire time?
I mean, it's possible. It's possible that they're going to book it like that. You know? I think so. You could definitely probably see it coming. Maybe The Rock will be in Berlin. Who knows?
Yeah. The Rock is done filming his movie, so I heard his schedule is all cleared up now. Exactly. So it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when will we see The Rock?
Exactly, because
the final boss.
Exactly, because The Rock went away, but you know he's not done with the storyline yet. So it's very possible that he can be behind the new Bloodline with Solo Sikoa as the Tribal Chief.
And remember, before he left, he did tell Cody. He's like, when I come back, I'm coming for that, referring to the WWE Championship.
Exactly. Well, all things considered, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan in WWE. But today we are talking about the greatest of all time.
My man, John Cena. We are going to go over his top 10 matches of his career, at least in our opinions.
Exactly. So we are continuing the talk of John Cena. As last week, you should go out and listen to our podcast of John Cena's upcoming 2025 retirement. So if you haven't listened to that, definitely check that out. But Ryan, we have both created top 10 lists. And so let's get into it. What is your top 10? Well, let's go. We'll both talk about our number 10s. Okay? So what is yours?
My number 10 is John Cena versus Edge at Unforgiven 2006 in their TLC match, because I think, you know, Cena and Edge had a great rivalry and feud for years, but I think out of all their matches, that was their top match. That's the one that always stood out to me from their rivalry. I think that's the match most fans think of when they think of John Cena versus Edge.
That's funny, because I have that match way down on my list. Way down. Not going to say what number, but I have it way down on my list. But I agree. I mean, you know, that match is, I think, one of the first times that you really looked at John Cena in a different way.
I think that's when people started to see, like, wait, this guy actually can wrestle. Like,
exactly.
You know, because he used to get criticized and hear the chance of, oh, you can't wrestle. But, you know, there's a reason JBL calls him Big Match John, because he steps up when it comes to big matches.
Exactly. And that was one of the first times you really saw John Cena step up in a big way. My number 10 is John Cena versus Kevin Owens at the Elimination Chamber in 2015. So that match, to me, is one of the first times that you really saw John Cena be really giving with his career. And Kevin Owens coming in, he was NXT champion at that point. A couple weeks before that on Raw, Kevin Owens came in, interrupted John Cena. Well, actually, he didn't interrupt. It was a John Cena Invitational, what he used to do with the United States Championship. And we all thought we were going to see Kevin Owens versus John Cena that night. But Kevin Owens was like, no. We're going to do it on my time. Still holding the NXT Championship. And they ended up doing it at the Elimination Chamber, which it was a banger of a match. And you saw the NXT champion Kevin Owens go over on the 16-time world champion John Cena, who was currently holding the United States title. So one of the first times that you saw John Cena be really giving with his career. And then, you know, having Kevin Owens go over really set the stage for what has been a Hall of Fame career for Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and it's, especially with that being Kevin Owens' first match on the main roster, and he beat Cena clean. It's like, that's, at least back then, that was like unheard of, because it's like, you know, John Cena, he's the face of the company. He always goes over. So the fact that a new guy, the NXT champion, is going over, you know, John Cena, it's just like, oh, wow, like this guy has it, you know. Surprisingly, I do not have that match in my personal top 10, but I do agree it is a amazing match.
Yeah, definitely. And then you're right about that, because normally during the Vince McMahon era of WWE, you would always see if heels were going to win, they're going to go over cheating. You know, they never got over cleanly with the top babyface. So for Kevin Owens to go over cleanly on the top babyface, not even the top babyface, the top guy in WWE at that time, for the last 10 years at that point, is really remarkable. So who is your number nine?
Number nine is John Cena versus Triple H at WrestleMania 22 for the WWE Championship.
Okay. Yeah, elaborate on that.
And I know, like, you know, for guys like Cena and Triple H, who may not be the most technically sound and gifted wrestlers, I thought they gave us a really sound technical wrestling match at WrestleMania 22. And I think that was, like, in the midst of when they were like, oh, you know, John Cena can't wrestle, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, he can't hang with the top guys. And that was also another one of those matches where John Cena really stepped up and showed, like, no, when it matters most, I can go toe-to-toe with the best of them.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I don't have that match in my top, but it's definitely a, you know, honorable mention. I remember watching that WrestleMania. And that was really one of the first times that you saw John Cena get booed. That was one of the first times I saw him get booed in that arena. You know, Triple H was the heel in that program going in, but the fans in Chicago loved Triple H at that point, and they really wanted to see Triple H win the WWE Championship. And so to see John Cena come out, he came out with was it the 1920s?
With CM Punk being one of the extras.
Exactly. That was pretty cool. But that was one of the first times that I saw John Cena get booed, but also get over in a way that, you know, that the company was going to push him going forward. You know, the company was definitely, that was one of the first times that you saw Super Cena come out, because before that, John Cena was the baby face getting cheered, but up until that point, you knew John Cena was going to win. This match, I didn't think that John Cena was going to win. I thought Triple H was going to win. And surprising at all, John Cena won that match. And, you know, it's one of the first times where you're like, damn, this guy, like, they are really pushing this guy to the moon. So, good match. Let's see here. Pull up
my number nine.
Cena versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam 2016.
Oh, what a great match. Great match.
You know, I think so we had saw John Cena versus AJ Styles at Money in the Bank previously. And just like the Kevin Owens situation, you had AJ Styles go over on John Cena during that, you know, during that match at Money in the Bank but it wasn't cleanly. So going into SummerSlam, we all expected John Cena to get his comeuppance on AJ Styles. But AJ Styles, you know, coming into the company at Royal Rumble during that time, you know, he was the guy from TNA, the guy from New Japan, you know, the guy that made his mark not in WWE, probably the best wrestler at that point to not come over to WWE. But he did at the Royal Rumble in 2015. So fantasy booking, I remember as a kid watching TNA, I would always think about what if AJ Styles were to wrestle John Cena. Now that fantasy match was taking place here at WWE at Money in the Bank. AJ Styles getting over. I think the OC helped AJ Styles win that match, if my mind is not mistaken. And then you go into SummerSlam, AJ Styles and John Cena just put on an absolute banger of a match. And then it, you know, WWE surprisingly has AJ Styles go over again. And that's really remarkable because you would think, you know, WWE would want John Cena to get his comeuppance since he lost, you know, he got cheated out of the win the month before. No, that's not the way it happened. They established a new big star in AJ Styles, and it really took AJ Styles to the next level in WWE. Right.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I surprisingly do not have that match in my top 10. An honorable mention for sure. I do have a John Cena AJ Styles match in my top 10, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, and then my going into my number 8 match, I actually have John Cena versus Kevin Owens at Money in the Bank 2015. Okay. And the reason I have that match specifically is because that's when, you know, John Cena started pulling out, like, you know, moves you've never seen him pull off before. I remember when he hit a sunset flip powerbomb, and the crowd was like, whoa, what? And even the commentators were shocked, like, wait, what was that? And I was shocked, too. I was just like, I didn't know a guy like John Cena could pull off a move like that, because that is not an easy move to pull off.
Not
especially
at all.
With him, especially with him being a powerhouse, it's not easy to pull off. But I like that match specifically because I think that's when we actually really started to see Cena really hit his stride as a technical wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. For about 10 years at that point, you know, John Cena had been the mainstay in WWE, and people mocked him for having only 5 moves, the 5 moves of doom. But in the mid-2010s, you know, up until maybe 2017, I feel like John Cena really hit his stride as a wrestler and probably was at the peak of his wrestling ability, because he busted out – during these matches, he busted out all kinds of moves that you would never see John Cena perform
before. Yeah. Yeah, he did, like, he did a springboard stunner, hurricanranas, you know, a springboard DDT.
Yeah.
Michinoku drivers. He's just, like, it was just incredible to see, you know, like, hey, like, this guy, like, most people kind of let the, oh, you can't wrestle, get to them, but with a guy like Cena, it's like, he took it and he ran with it.
Exactly. Exactly. So my number 8 will be John Cena versus Umaga at the Royal Rumble in 2007.
I have that higher on my list. We'll get there in a bit.
Yeah. That match, just simply put, was brutal. They beat the living fuck out of each other. And those guys just went at it in a way that, you know, we had seen Cena be an aggressive, brawling type before, but Umaga brought the best out of that in John Cena. And then, so the ending of that match is what's most popular for that match is John Cena actually choked out Umaga with the rope, legitimately choked him out, you know, getting the win in that match. So thankfully Umaga was okay, but Cena actually choked him out with the rope. So it's pretty crazy. All right. So number 7 on the list, what do you got, Ryan?
I have John Cena versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam 2015 in the title versus title match. And, you know, that's when Seth wore his famous all-white gear, which I hope someday we see again.
Yep.
But, that match, like, going into it, it had, a powerful story. You know, here Seth was after, you know, the heist of the century, cashing in, being WWE champion and being the guy. But, you know, you have Cena saying, like, you haven't proven that, you know, you're the guy. You haven't really done anything to prove that you have it. You've had the authority on your back and stuff. So Cena challenges him, like, you know what, let's see if you got what it takes. And, man, these two have amazing chemistry because they put on a classic match. You know, it was truly back and forth. Like, it came down to, like, oh my gosh, like, who's going to win? Like, it was actually unpredictable, right? Which is rare in WWE in, you know, certain matches. It's like, oh, it's so obvious this person's going to go over. But this was a match where it's like either one of them could win. And it's just like, what's it going to take for, you know, one guy to beat the other guy? So I just thought this was another one of Cena's best technical matches, and I think this was the start of people seeing that Seth is like that he's going to be a star.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, that was a really, really good match at SummerSlam.
My only gripe with it is that Jon Stewart got involved. I thought that didn't really make any sense, and his reading for it was like stupid. But aside from that, it did not take away how great the match was.
The match was really good, and I agree. It was a stupid ending, you know, as well. So my top seven is John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23. Going into that match, you know, it was one of the cases, again, that everybody wanted to see Shawn Michaels become the WWE champion, probably for the last time if he were to win it. And then you have John Cena coming out, making a spectacular entrance in the car, busting through the glass. Then again, you know, it's Shawn Michaels. You know, people want to see him win. But you had John Cena coming up, you know, and people's, you know, expectations were, you know, can John Cena match up with a Hall of Famer like Shawn Michaels? You know, and Shawn Michaels, you know, still could go at that point, you know, with the best of them. That was one of the points where... What's that?
Mr. WrestleMania for a reason.
Exactly. So, to me, that match is one of the first times where you're like, dang, like, John Cena, like, he's legit. Like, you know, not only, like, you've seen him in the ring with other guys before, but he's able to go toe-to-toe with Shawn Michaels, coming out on top, you know. He's the man. Like, you know, it's no fluke with this guy. You know, he can put on a pay-per-view WrestleMania banger with Shawn Michaels. This guy is legitimately the man.
Yeah, and you can argue that Shawn Michaels is the greatest in-ring wrestler of all time because Shawn Michaels, he just put on, like, classic after classic. There's a reason he was called Mr. WrestleMania because he always stepped up big when it came to the biggest stage.
Exactly. Yep.
So going into my number six, I actually have a match that you just said. I have John Cena versus Umaga at the Royal Rumble in 2007. Okay. For a reason similar to yours, you know, how Umaga really brought out the best of Cena, and I definitely thought, you know, it was Umaga's best match of his career, and it really showed Umaga as a threat. But again, it's still solidified, you know, Cena being, like, the guy. And the fact, and I consider, because it was the Last Man Standing match, correct?
Yep, it was.
Mm-hmm. I consider it to be the greatest Last Man Standing match in history.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, going into it, fans are probably like, "Oh, Umaga's gonna destroy John Cena. Nobody can stop Umaga." And then, who would have thought that two powerhouses like them would put on a classic?
Exactly. Nobody was really expecting Umaga and Cena to put on a classic. In fact, on paper, you think, I don't know if these guys would mesh well together, but the fact, I mean, Umaga, you know, was one of the most athletic big guys in company history. So, I mean, putting him with Cena, who was a powerhouse, they just meshed really, really well together, and they beat the living fuck out of each other, like I just said. They did. Yeah. Great match between those two.
What's your number six, Mike?
All right, number six is Cena versus JBL at Judgment Day 2005. You know, at that point, John Cena had become the WWE champion at WrestleMania 21 the month before. You know, Cena was insanely over with the crowd, still in his Thuganomics days. heading towards the Taylor end of that. But even though he was over with the crowd, the jury was still out on how John Cena was as a performer. And I think in that match, you saw John Cena turn it up to a level which we hadn't seen before in terms of him being a brawler, the brutality of it. And he bled, both those men bled buckets during that match. And it was a really entertaining main event. And I think it was one of the first times that you saw John Cena, you know, become a slightly become the version of which we were going to see in the future. And it was a banger of a match, like I just said. Brutality up the rear. And, yeah, it was highly entertaining. So that's why I put it up on that list so high.
And I'm surprised I didn't put that on my list. But, yeah, that is a great match. I definitely will have it as part of my honorable mentions. So going into the top five now of my top 10 John Cena matches. At number five, I have John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23. A lot of reasons similar to yours. You know, it's a very technically sound match. It really solidifies John as, you know, like a legitimate wrestler. And it's like he's going head-to-head with arguably the greatest to ever do it inside the ring. And he gives the fans a one classic main event. It is like, that is how a WrestleMania main event match should be.
Exactly. No, totally agree. So then my number five is Cena versus Kevin Owens at Battleground 2015. Like we just mentioned before, that match had, like, brought out Cena, which we had never seen John Cena perform ever. You know, both those guys doing insanely technical moves, and they meshed just so well together. That match, if you haven't watched that match, I highly encourage you to go back and watch that match. Because that, honestly, like, watching it, it's pro wrestling at its finest. You know, you had the heel Kevin Owens doing everything he can to be a slime ball in that match. John Cena, you know, being the babyface he was at that point. But both men just being incredible in the ring with each other, putting on art, you know. I think it's just what pro wrestling is personified to be. You know, it's art at its finest.
Yeah, for sure. Kevin Owens and John Cena, they are the definition of what you would call wrestling soulmates. Those two had amazing chemistry. Those two never failed to put on a classic. Like, they just meshed so well together. Like, when you were watching John Cena versus Kevin Owens, you knew you were getting something great. You knew we were going to get something special.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
So my number four is John Cena versus Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble 2015 for the WWE Championship.
Ooh, interesting choice.
Which many people argue, and I definitely agree that it is arguably the best triple threat match of all time. Like, you know, we already seen what Cena and Rollins can do, you know, as technicians, but really seeing Brock, this is a side of Brock I don't think anybody's ever seen before. Yeah. You know, like, because he's known for being like this powerhouse. He's like, oh, he just beats people up. But no, this Brock actually showed, like, no, he can wrestle too when it comes down to it. I just thought, you know, the storytelling of the match was great. And I really thought it all three men shined and looked great. Even in defeat, I think Cena and Rollins looked like a million bucks.
I remember Brock Lesnar going, like, making his entrance to that match, and he just looked like a brick shithouse, dude. He looked so fucking, like, he knew he was training. And a few months later, he would go back into the UFC, so you knew why. So, my number four, which is probably a little too high for some people, but it's John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble 2017. This is where John Cena gets number 16. He gets number 16. It's the culmination of a feud from the prior year. At that point, Cena hadn't beaten AJ Styles at that point, lost at Money in the Bank, lost at SummerSlam. They kind of went off into their different ways, but then they came back at the Royal Rumble. AJ Styles was WWE champion at that point. And if you thought the prior matches were great. You have to watch this match. This is probably John Cena's last great match, I would say. In total, if you think about it, this is his last great match. And so Cena being, you know, at that point, a tenured veteran, you wouldn't think that maybe he would get to the level that he did, but he rose probably for the final time in his career that, you know, to a level which you're thinking, man, this guy still has it, you know? Like, not only has it, but this guy's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have that match. We'll get there in a second. If you thought maybe you ranked it a little too high, we'll see how people think where I put it.
Okay.
Going into number three, I have John Cena versus the Heartbreak Kid at the Raw in London in 2007. Mm-hmm. This was a few weeks after the WrestleMania match, and this match went longer than it was originally supposed to. The match went a little bit over an hour, but these two men, like, if you thought they put on a classic at WrestleMania, they turned it up to 11 in this match. They were just giving each other their best shots, and like, the crowd was really into the match, which I really think helped, you know, the feel of the match, because it's like a real big match feel if you get the crowd into it the entire time. Exactly. And we see Shawn Michaels get his comeuppance, and he hits Cena with the Sweet Chin Music, and he does the tire thing where he just falls on top of him for the 1-2-3. But that was probably the greatest match in the history of Monday Night Raw.
I absolutely agree, and I have that at my number three as well. Cena versus Michaels. Like I said, Cena and Michaels at WrestleMania 23, that was where Cena, you know, put himself, you know, you knew that Cena could compete with the best. But this match overtook that WrestleMania match, and it was 1 hour long, which I don't think it was planned to go that long, but they did it anyways. If I'm wrong, you know, correct me. But, you know, the match went an hour long. It was basically an Iron Man match without it being called an Iron Man match. And then, you know, those guys just put on an absolute banger of a match. Like, it's unquestionably probably the best match in Raw history. So, our number two, what is yours?
My number two is actually the match you had at your number four, John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble 2017, which is my personal favorite match of John's, because it's not only where he wins, you know, number 16, but it really shows how well AJ and Cena had, you know, chemistry. Like, yeah, as you had said, if you thought their matches at before were great, they turned it up to like 100 in this match. Both men were just going back and forth. AJ was pulling out moves we've never seen him do. Cena was pulling out moves we've never seen him do. And, like, these two really brought the best out of each other. And I think the fans really enjoyed it. And it's like you said, it really was Cena's last great match. Like, he won number 16 in a very, you know, amazing fashion. Like, I'm glad it wasn't just like, oh, you know, he did the Super Cena shit where he gets all beat up and all of a sudden hits the five moves of doom and, oh, look, he's a 16-time champion. No, this guy had to fight and grind for number 16, and that's why I love it so much, because it's like, you know, he really, really just stepped up.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we're quickly writing down. We have 5 minutes left of this podcast. So going into my number two, it's Cena versus Edge at Unforgiven 2006. The reason why I have that match so hot, so, you know, low on my list, is because, you know, going into that match, it was it was Edge's homecoming. You know, the fans were absolutely 100% with Edge in that match, and it was the culmination of a rivalry that kind of carried the company through the year 2006. I think Cena and Edge had tremendous chemistry with each other. That had matches at the Royal Rumble. That had matches all throughout basic 2006 SummerSlam. And heading into that match, I think it was something that they turned it up to a level, both superstars, we had never seen them do at the time. So I think putting it, you know, in perspective, that match surpassed everything that we wanted it to be, and then some. All right, you're number one, Ryan, because we have
my number one, and I don't think this comes as a surprise to me because I think this is number one on almost everybody's list. But I have John Cena versus CM Punk at Money in the Bank 2011.
And same here. Mine is number one. That's my number one as well.
Yeah, because like this was like, you know, we had seen Cena be technical, but this was also in the years where he was kind of just doing his five moves of doom things. But this match, and it was in Chicago, so he was like the villain, and Punk was the hometown hero. But like we really saw Cena's technical prowess. Like I don't think anybody expected Cena to like pull that out of the hat and, you know, actually keep up with Punk in that perspective. And the two just put on a classic match. The story was great. You know, this that's the night where Punk's contract expired at midnight and he left Chicago with the WWE Championship. And that match is just like, you know, a chef's kiss. Yes. That is what you call the perfect wrestling match.
Exactly. The storyline was perfectly built. CM Punk was legitimately walking out of WWE at that point. And they played into it, you know, and honestly, everything that worked out into that match, it was great. And just the match itself was just so great. Both those guys, you know, they're both their best competitor because they brought every bit of greatness out of each other. And that match will remain in WWE history and WWE lore forever. And that's probably, you can easily call that one of their best match. You can argue that that match is both competitors, CM Punk and John Cena's best match. But yeah, Ryan, sorry to cut it off so quickly. We only have 30 minutes to record. So today, this was a great podcast. I love talking about this.
Yeah, I agree. And just real quick, just to mention, I know I had said like, oh yeah, it's definitely in my honorable mention. Just another quick honorable mention match I have is John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania 28. I know it wasn't the best match from a technical standpoint, but I think it was just an iconic match because we saw one of the biggest stars of the Attitude Era, The Rock, come face to face with the biggest star of the last, you know, decade, John Cena, and just seeing those two go head to head was truly, you know, a sight to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Ryan. Until next time, dude. I'm sorry to cut off so quickly, but we're going to get cut off here. All right. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Lace Up Podcast, and we'll see you next week with another
one. All right.
I'll see you.